Welcome to another episode of Crossing Soccer Borders, a podcast focused on the growth of CONCACAF soccer and part of the DynamoTheory.com podcast network. I am Rudy.
And I am Rodrigo.
Today we have a lot of soccer to talk about because there's plenty of soccer going around, man. A ton of qualifiers Friday through pretty much tomorrow and probably even more around the world. And before we get started talking about CONCACAF soccer, our lovely CONCACAF region, Rodrigo, how you been doing so far, man?
Been good. Had kind of like a low-key weekend. We ended up getting our third dose for the vaccine and kind of kicked our butt yesterday, so we're pretty tired. But feeling pretty good now and, you know, gonna keep staying safe. What about you? What are you guys up to?
Yeah, for sure, man. I need to get my third dose. But no, we've been doing good, a little busy. We had another wedding to go to, one of Diana's coworkers. But overall, it was nice. I don't even remember what we did on Sunday. It was my dad's birthday today. So we went and ate with them at a Mediterranean restaurant called Fadis, which is actually pretty damn good. And I hadn't been there in a while.
You know what's funny about that? On Saturday, we actually went over here to Fadis. And I send the picture to my parents and I'm pretty sure that's probably where they're like, you know what, that does sound good.
Well,
I saw that you guys went out there and I'm like, oh, I guess, you know.
Well, my mom had mentioned it already, so I guess it was the thing. I was like, man, it was kind of like a pain just because of the drive after church, right? And stuff, but I mean, it was worth it at the end of the day, and it was good to get together. We all got together, like both my in-laws and my parents, so it was good. But I guess, man, just to keep the time consistent of trying to keep it short, 20, 25 minutes, I'll go ahead and jump into what the table looks like after the last matches that were played on Friday. So in first place, we got Team USA that beat up second place Mexico. And we'll go in detail on that one because there's a lot to talk about on that one for sure. Third place, you have Canada. Fourth place, you have Panama. Fifth place is Costa Rica. Sixth place, you got Jamaica. Seventh place, you have El Salvador. And in eighth place, you have a very, very struggling Honduras team that, my God, has been pretty awful. But we'll go ahead and get started with the matches. And I guess that will be our first match to talk about, that being Honduras against Panama. Honduras was, you know, with this new coach, El Bolillo Gomez, they were winning 2-0. And Rodrigo texted me. He's like, dude, did you see what happened to Honduras? And I'm like, no, what happened? And sure enough, by the 77 minute and on, they ended up getting the game completely flipped at home. And Panama ended up taking all 3 points, winning 3-2. Crazy, Rodrigo. What do you think about that game, man?
Yeah, no, I was completely surprised because I was keeping up with the Mexico-US game. And then I'm like, well, let me check in and see how Honduras is doing now. And I saw, you know, it was 2-0. I'm like, okay, that's, you know, it looks like they're finally going to get their first win. And then, you know, 10 minutes passed by and I look at the score and it says 3-2. And I'm like, there's no way, you know, so it's crazy for them. But, and what I was like, I know a lot of people talk smack about, I guess, about CONCACAF and the level of play and all this, but after 7 games, you look at this matchups and they've all been pretty close. I mean, for teams to really just draw more than anything, you know, it just tells you that the level is pretty consistent. And we've seen this teams also play outside of CONCACAF and compete with the top teams. But if you look at other qualifiers, like today, I think I saw England beat San Marino 10-0. Like, that's not appealing. You know, you get all this. Sure, it's Europe and all that, but you get, you know, France beating somebody 8-0, Germany 7-0. It's like, it's, you know, it's kind of pointless. And then, you know, you get CONCACAF, which the matches are interesting. You know, you get a 3-2 Honduras and, you know, El Salvador, and, you know, they're pretty close matches. So I just kind of want to throw that in there.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's exactly what, you know, you're absolutely right when it comes to the European soccer. That's when you see a table and there's like one or two teams. I mean, and one, you know, obviously, like, I think it's a Portugal that was fighting with another big head. You know, there's some of those groups that don't have a ton of competition compared to CONCACAF. I think once you get to this, I guess now an eight hexagonal, octagonal. I can't even freaking talk. It gets more competitive. It's not easy. But with that, we'll jump right away to the other match that was Canada beating Costa Rica 1-0. Again, another very close match in Canada. Don't want to get super much into it, but Jonathan David ended up winning or scoring the winning goal in that match, which again is just the competitiveness, right? I mean, you expect that you're at home, you have talented players like an Alfonso Davies coming right at you and other of this, you know, top Canadian players compared to Costa Rican. We've talked about this a bunch of times, how they're struggling. They're not their same generation that they used to be in the last maybe three World Cups. So things have changed for sure. And I just want to keep going to El Salvador, Jamaica. Same thing, another match that we've talked about how El Salvador just seems to keep dropping points. The whole 3 points. And of course, Alex Roldan scored in the 90th minute to get this draw against Jamaica at home. But Rodrigo, just, you know, quickly emphasizing all those matches, you know, what can you expect out of all those, you know, you said draws and short games. You know, who do you expect, you know, to try to make it, you know, make out of those smaller teams to make a push for that fourth place?
See, I mean, the funny thing with that is, out of all those teams, we really thought Panama was the team that was going to struggle in this tournament. And right now they're sitting, I guess you could say, pretty comfortably in fourth place. But man, knowing that Costa Rica, Jamaica, and El Salvador all have a pretty good chance, you know, depending how they end their final games, to kind of get that fourth spot, it just kind of shows, you know, the competitive of this round, basically. I don't know. I think Jamaica has been playing a little bit better. You know, it's hard to go to El Salvador and find a draw. They did, you know, were winning or had a late goal themselves. And then it got taken away with the Christian Roland goal. And Alex Roldan, sorry, goal. And, you know, and they could at least made something out of that. But they've been playing a lot better. They had, you know, Mikel Antonio come in as a sub to score that goal. But I think they're starting to find their way a little bit late, but it could just give them that push. And then Costa Rica, on the other hand, I just think they've been struggling a little bit too much. Don't know if they'll finally get that, you know, that second win and try to get into the World Cup again.
Yeah, no, and now to the match we want to talk about, because again, I just mentioned about fourth place, and right now in fourth place, you know, for that half ticket, you have Panama. And right now, the match that, you know, are coming up next, maybe you can even see Mexico being in fourth place or fifth place. So there's definitely, this thing is not over. There's a bit of a bridge between the top four and the bottom four for sure, like they're always going to be. But before we continue talking forward to, you know, the first matches, we have this clip from Christian Pulisic reaction after the match.
I mean, I think we've earned respect the last couple times we've played them. They understand what we're about. We understand what they're about. That's what makes a great rivalry. And I'm just really happy that we could come out on top again tonight. And we knew it was always going to be a good game against Mexico, and to get 3 points just helps us get a lot closer to qualifying for the World Cup.
All right, so yeah, Rodrigo, you know, seeing how the U.S. and Mexico, the rivalry match was, to me, a great match. Sucks for Mexico, of course, being a Mexican fan, losing 2-0, getting that 2-0 that sparked so much happiness in the U.S. team. But, you know, there is definitely no excuse. You know, you're supposed to be playing your top players, your top squads, your top lineups, right, in these matches. I think the U.S. had their better squad. Mexico, of course, you know, you can look at their back line, and it's true. You know, Cata Dominguez and Johan Vázquez had never played. I think that was the first time they ever played together. And, you know, very young international pair. Playing together for the first time. Of course, you know, you could see some of those goals. You know, Christian Pulisic took out Cata Dominguez for the goal. And same thing for the for McKinney's goal. That was maybe a little tricky, or sorry, lucky. Says it kind of bounced back to him. But at the end of the day, you know, a win is a win. And, you know, it was, to me, it was a great, a fantastic match. I think it just sparks the rivalry even more. Rodrigo, what are your thoughts on that, man?
Yeah, definitely. As far as, I guess, the players go, you know, we all know both teams have good quality players, even if they're young or not. But I think what really helped the U.S. was the high press that they put on all game. We expected the U.S. to really, you know, tire themselves out. And they didn't. They, you know, I think that's what kept Mexico on their toes for the most part of, like, what's going to happen next. I don't think Mexico prepared themselves that well for that, since they usually, you know, have more possession of the ball, calmly pass it around and trying to find an opportunity that way. But instead, it was just kind of, you know, pushing them back, and then just hoping for a mistake or if not a counter. And I honestly do like that style of play that the U.S. is going to constantly do that, not just against Mexico, but moving forward. That, you know, that's the kind of tactics or style of play I like, you know, to see Liverpool play. So they do this high press. I know, you know, there's other teams in the Premier and other European teams that do the same thing. And if you do that correctly, I mean, you see the outcome, you know, beating Mexico 2-0 when it was to an extent expected to beat Mexico because you're playing at home. It just, you know, didn't think you were really going to shut Mexico down that much.
Well, and you know, that's what's crazy because I think there's we have another clip that I'm going to add here that is going to be Memo Ochoa.
Bueno, creo que habrá que analizarlo, ¿no? Ahorita es muy difícil decirte un análisis muy, muy concreto, pero bueno, no generamos tanto en la segunda parte como las que tuvimos en el primer tiempo. Habrá que ver por qué fue, a qué se debió. Ellos mantuvieron esa intensidad y nos costó, creo que en la segunda parte, tener un poco más el balón, un ritmo de juego. Y bueno, así es, nada, creo que ellos hicieron lo suficiente para ganarlo y a nosotros nos faltó. Sí, claro, los partidos de visita en eliminatoria son siempre difíciles, ¿no? Históricamente siempre ha sido así. Una lástima el resultado de hoy. Veníamos a tratar de llevarnos los puntos y bueno, no fue así. Ahora a concentrarnos en lo que viene, que queremos sacar una espinita de este juego.
Just talking about, you know, people are asking him, you know, it's a shame and like such a heartbreak you lost to the U.S. And he answers basically saying, look, it's not, you know, it's not fun to lose. And it's obviously sucks that they have the better, have gotten the best of us, beating us three times in a row. But this is, you know, the World Cup qualifiers, no match is easy. Like, you know, when people, I think Panama beating Honduras was the first away win, if I'm not mistaken, or a big away win like that. Obviously, Mexico, I think, beat El Salvador and El Salvador. But to an extent, you know, yeah, I guess, you know, you hear that clip and you see that, you know, at the end of the day, we talked about this. If you would have gotten a tie in Cincinnati, that would be great. If you got a win, that would be an upset. Because at the end of the day, you know, I mean, you saw the stadium. The stadium was rocking. It was just USA everything. And it was great to see. It's great to see, you know, fans have that much love for a soccer team, you know, when usually soccer in the US is looked as like the fourth or fifth sport in America. So anyways, with that, I did want to add something that you mentioned, though, because I also thought that Martino was another clip that I was thinking of using. But just, you know, they asked him, like, you know, you guys got dominated. Does it hurt that you lost three times? You did, like, blah, 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 blah. Kind of same question that Memo Ochoa got. But right now, looking at the stats, Mexico had 51% of the possession. And that's one thing that he said. He said, look, we had, you know, same shots on target, basically. They just took advantage of it. Possession was about the same. Our passes was about the same. You know, our accuracy was about the same. Fouls were about the same. Like, you look at the stat sheet, and the stat sheet is, god dang, super close, you know? And so for Tata Martino to say that, you know, minutes after the match, and to recognize that, you know, it, yes, we lost 2-0, but they took those opportunities that they got, and we didn't. So, you know, it makes me, a lot of people may be asking for Tata Martino to get fired. To me, that's stupid to do right now, because you're still in a good spot in the table. So there's no reason for you to like call it for his head. But this is what's great about CONCACAF. This is what's great about the, you know, clash of titans here, the giants of CONCACAF. Like, this rivalry is just one of the best, you know, in the world. Just like there's a Real Madrid, Barcelona. Ours is definitely Mexico, U.S., you know, one of the big ones that match. But Rodrigo, anything else you want to add about this?
No, I would say, you know, I mean, I like that. I think he's done a great job. I mean, he hadn't lost in almost, what, 2 years? I forgot how many matches until I think they lost against Wales. So he's had a good run with the national team. I think it's time to call up somebody like Chicharito, you know, not because of what he can do on the field, but what he does for the team.
Yes.
Even if you have somebody like that and a good presence of good attitude.
I think you're liking you're lacking personality. That's what you're kind of going with. And I agree.
I think you're lacking leadership more than anything. I mean, you have Memo, but like as a goalkeeper, you can just do so much. You need somebody either on the actual field or just in general, like a bigger name to push players. I mean, you don't have Rafa Márquez anymore. You know, you don't have this great team chemistry like you used to with Giovanni, Vela, and Chicha on, you know, the three main guys on top that we had for a while. You know, you're lacking a lot of that. You know, Guardado doesn't really start games anymore. He's, I guess, not the captain that he used to be or the player. It's just one of those things that, you know, somebody has to find something. And I think that's what we're lacking a lot.
Yeah, that's like dead on for sure. I think that, you know, you want players that have like they have that leadership, but like that it translate. But you have to be vocal as well in international play, I think. I think you can get away with it. You look like a Steve Gerrard, you know him in the sense of like, he's not a big vocal guy. He was never, you know, it was still, maybe he was a little older in season that he felt more comfortable, you know, yelling at guys. But when it comes to international, like that's definitely like needed. Definitely need somebody that can be vocal and, you know, bring the best out of people. And, you know, there's players to me like Hector Herrera that he just doesn't play the same like he used to. He used to be like, you know, very, you know, protected that ball like if it was, you know, gold. And now he just plays with like such leisure, kind of too relaxed. I don't know if he's, you know, is like, I mean, the guy's a great player, obviously won a La Liga title. He's known to play in Europe and why not. But the thing is, like, he just doesn't have that urgency with, you know, playing with the national team and continue to prove and push others. And in a way, I feel like what's happening with him is kind of what happened to Michael Bradley, you know, at some point. That's the reason, obviously, why he ended up eventually not being called up, and is not being called up anymore for that same reason. I think very talented players, but they're kind of losing that sense of, like, urgency at times. But yeah, and obviously you have players like Machin, Edson Alvarez, that, you know, he can be that next captain, you know, that next Rafa Márquez type, like, you know, but they're still missing something. They're missing that spark. And I agree that you should bring Chicharito. You know, is he what he used to be? Of course not. But, you know, I mean, for God's sake, we used to have like a 38-year-old Cuauhtémoc Blanco at one point that, you know, you just bring the guy, and it's just that off the pitch, obviously, that, you know, even then he brings so much to the table. And sometimes it's his name or his actions, right? Like, and just, you know, you go from you know, man on man to like getting double team and opening up some spaces for other people. And I think it's definitely necessary, and hopefully he is definitely looked at maybe coming back when they play again back in January, I think. But Rodrigo?
Yeah. No, I definitely agree. I mean, and you're mentioning other people like Jared Borghetti, you know, he got called up pretty, you know, into his, I guess, late 30s almost. But he was still a presence, you know, he was still trying to score goals. But I think even Chicha, you know, he ended the season with a goal, and he had for the games that he played, he actually had a pretty good season with LA Galaxy. Unfortunately, you know, he got caught short just because of that other game and, you know, the late tie with them as well. But if not, he would have been in the playoffs, in the MLS playoffs. But I think it's, you know, it's time to at least call him up. I think it's also going to take a lot of what's going to happen tomorrow night. Or
yeah,
Tuesday night, I should say.
Exactly, and that's a very good transition, because, like I said, you know, you go to Canada, you play in Canada, which I think is going to be like snowing, if I'm not mistaken. And what do you do? This is a question for you. What do you do if you lose against Canada?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely go. I know they said that the Chicha don't have the best relationship, but I think as far as that, you have to put the team first. You know, like, you might not like the guy, but he's still a good player. You know, same thing with like Carlos Vela. If he was healthy and staying consistent, obviously he's most likely going to decline an offer like that. But those are two players that had still been, you know, in a top good level. And I would not scratch them away from a World Cup, because you at least have 4 more years to get other guys ready for the next World Cup. Right now, this could be their last World Cup that they ever play in. And they're still, you know, can give you a lot of potential. I mean, Carlos Vela just had an amazing season last year. Chicha had a pretty good season this year. I think if you lose against Canada, you have to call, you know, Chicha up. I know he was called up early on for, I think, the Gold Cup or early qualifiers, and then got turned away on the last minute. Maybe, I don't know if it was due to an injury or something else, but you know, he was still considered. And I think this time around, you just kind of have to do that. And I think at this point, Chicha would, I think he sees how the team is. And it's not like Mexico's struggling. I mean, you're literally won 4 games, you're second with the exact same points as the U.S. Even if you lose against Canada, you're still up there. You know, it's going to be pretty tough to drift too far out, especially because these are your two hardest games that you have. Both away, both against the two strongest teams, I guess.
I would see it as like if we would happen to lose against Canada in Canada. I mean, I think, again, it's kind of what we talked about the U.S. You're underdogs, right, going into Canada. Like, there's no easy matches anymore. If you can get a point, I think that's great. If you can get 3 points, that'd be amazing too.
No, I was going to say, like, I don't think Mexico's that worried. If you get a point, that's awesome. If you get 3, yes, that's even better. If you lose, I don't think it's a big deal, because your next 4 out of the 6 games remaining are at home. So to me, that's a sense of like, not that you have it in the bag, but it gives you a little more confidence of like, hey, we at least have the home field advantage. Although I know, I think some are going to be played without fans just because of the whole issue again.
Yeah.
And one thing I did see is that Mexico is going to be playing Chile as a friendly. So on early December, so early next month, I think that's going to be a game that's going to consist of a lot of local La Liga MLS players. And I think there, that's where you can include Chicha to see where he's at.
Yeah.
And a player like that, you know, if he's doing well, if he does well, I think you're going to have to call him up for the qualifier, like without a doubt.
Yeah, and so, you know, obviously, like I said, we, you know, obviously mentioned the Canada, Mexico, and then the United States case, you know, they have to go to Jamaica and prove that, look, just because we keep beating Mexico, we have to be consistent. And I think they will end up getting the best of Jamaica, you know, even with a Jamaica that's doing much better as of late. But they, I believe there's a few, like all teams, obviously Mexico doesn't have Hector Moreno. And I think the United States won't have McKinney, and I saw someone else. But anyways, pretty much I think we've touched on all the matches. Of course, you know, we have the if I can freaking pull it up, you know, obviously Panama against El Salvador. I think Panama is a favorite in that matchup. And then you have Costa Rica playing Honduras. It'd be great for Honduras to get some points, but things are looking pretty grim there. But Rodrigo, I think we're pretty much done. We kind of hit like the mark that we try to hit. You know, go ahead and close it out, man.
And with that, keep crossing soccer borders.